The Football Pod on Off the Ball in partnership with AIB, proud sponsors of the Football, Hurling and Camogie All-Ireland Club Championships. Hashtag the toughest.
Hello there, and you're very welcome back to the Football Pod, a very special episode. I have brought James and Paddy down to a lovely part of the country. We're in Tuberty's Bar in Doombeg. Big thanks to the lads to opening up to us this morning. We're going to do our last pod of the intercounty season, and we're going to play a spot of golf over in the beautiful course. David Tuberty's going to join us too, a Clare legend. Boys, it's been a busy couple of days. Kerry have won the All-Ireland, number 39. James, we might start with you. How are things?
Things are good. Do you know, it was a strange end to the season, really, wasn't it? In terms of the championship, I suppose we thought, even with the final, we thought it was going to be nip and tuck, 1 point, 2 point win. But like, if you think back over the knockout stages, and look, I always say I have incredible bias. I am a Kerry man, but like, Kerry absolutely motivated everyone on the way to winning the All Ireland. Like, I mean, they've won the quarterfinal, semi-final and final by an average of 8 points in each game. That's not close. Do you know, like, that is really coming out, flexing your muscles, putting your shoulders back, your chest out, and just saying, we're the best team, we're going to go and play and win it. So it's been a great reaction down in Kerry. I don't know, you weren't down in Dingle. The lads were down in Dingle last night. Yeah. And a few of them were interviewed and things, and you could just see the crowd of people that had come out to Dingle to support them. And because it was an All-Ireland that wasn't as expected after maybe the group stages, maybe a loss of form and injuries and things. There was a little bit of question marks, but the way they've come out and got the supporters on side, so they've really, really responded well, and they're just having the party of all parties now this week.
So deserved, Paddy. How powerful a win that was on Sunday.
Yeah, it was a brilliant display. Totally, totally dominant. Like you said, unexpected. They've answered a lot of questions over the last 6 weeks. Look, you go back to 6 weeks ago probably even after the Cavan match in Killarney, before they were that quarter final against Armagh, they were playing the defending All-Ireland champions. There wasn't a whole pile outside the Kerry camp of optimism about what they were going to do, but clearly within the camp, and that's all that matters really, and from Jack O'Connor, and you listen to the players now in the couple of days after the All-Ireland, they had total faith in what they were going to do, even if no one else did, and that's the most important thing. But what they've delivered, you said it to me, over the last 6 weeks has been outstanding displays, not just from the marquee guys. The most impressive thing from my side was probably those less heralded players, the likes of Mark O'Shea, Sean O'Brien, Joe O'Connor. Those three guys were absolutely dominant against some of the best midfields in the country. And I think you go back to January, would any one of those guys be within an arse's roar of people's top teams or anything like that? So what those guys have done, Gavin White, Brian O'Buglock, these guys have given Kerry the platform. We know they have the skills. We know, like, David, Paddy, Sean O'Shea, all these guys, they're outstanding players. That's never in doubt. But what they've done collectively over the last 6 weeks, they've absolutely blown away the reigning All-Ireland champions. Tyrone, okay, probably not at that level just yet, but they are coming. But going into Sunday's game, back-to-back Ulster champions, the Jim McGuinness factor, all of that type of thing. I thought Donegal would win that game, lads. I said it. And whatever about their underperformance, Kerry were clinical, ruthless, and their intensity and work rate without the ball. When they do that, that's been the most impressive thing for me over the last 6 weeks. When they do that, we know they have the skills on the other side. You know, and that's, they're deserving champions, and seeing the Saints in Dingle, yeah, jeez, it looks like a good week in store for the lads, and well deserved.
Yeah, 100%. I don't know whether you would have seen it, James, but Paul O'Brien, who's an analyst and writes pieces for the Irish Times, is actually involved with the Tipperary team this year, the backroom team. I thought he wrote a brilliant piece, and he referenced the Keane O'Neill interview on Off the Ball 2 years ago before the Dublin and Kerry 23 final. Keane with Jer, and he spoke about some of his coaching philosophies. And Paul O'Brien's.
Was he with Galway at the time?
No.
Who was Keane?
He was with Galway at the time. Oh, yeah, okay. It was that season, that summer before that All Ireland final. But O'Brien's piece, off the back of O'Neill's philosophy, is about role clarity, role acceptance, and role execution. And I think it sounds like, the way that sounds maybe a little highfalutin, but when you watch the breakdown, you read the breakdown of it, the manner in which Kerry's players across the board, whether it be Graham O'Sullivan, and actually watching behind the goal footage afterwards, there's a couple of stages where you can see Graham O'Sullivan roaring at the likes of a Shawnee or a Paddy to stay in the tree up, that he will make the 50-yard burst back to actually get involved in a tackle or get a bit of heat on. Sean O'Brien and Mark O'Shea, like, when I watched it back afterwards, I thought Dylan Casey made the block on Finbar Rorty in the first quarter. It was Sean O'Brien, who also got 2 points, yeah, who also broke a load of kickouts. Mark O'Shea, the pass for Paddy in the second half, you know, that brilliant move along the end line. You know, you saw Mark Ford's behind the goal footage, the kind of sideline footage, the videographer, and Shawnee just knocks it down to Shawnee O'Shea, gives it to Sean O'Brien, who knocks down the Paddy point. It was unbelievable. But the manner in which they clicked over the last couple of weeks, they really went up the gears. There were shades of the 2014 setup too, I felt, in the manner in which David Clifford allowed himself to become a peripheral figure to pull Brendan McCall out of it in ways and then attack. But there was a lack of maybe, okay, selfishness is the wrong word because none of these players play with selfishness, but total acceptance of, if I do my job, the rest of the team can click around me. It was yeah, awesome.
You've a lot in there.
I've done it again.
Fuck's sake. Go back.
Keane O'Neill, I think.
I go back to Keane O'Neill because that is an interesting. That's certainly something of interest to me, right? Because as soon as Keane got the job, I was like, name on the trophy. I was like, we are back. Like Tim Mine, I was like, we are back, baby. Because Keane just gives this freshness to the football side of it. He makes you, I say, it's too cliche, he makes you a better player, but he makes you so familiar with the ball and kind of confident in that regard. And when people talk about philosophies, the philosophy is a word that is actually misunderstood. Because you can't have a philosophy on exactly the way you want to play, because your players are going to change and injuries are going to happen and you might not have the players you want for that philosophy. So, like, I think Kerry's philosophy for a long time, people thought was a high ball in because we had Donaghy and Tommy Walsh and these fellas, but that was just because they were playing to players they had. So you're right with Keane's philosophy, and even Jack Connor's philosophy isn't necessarily about how you play, you know, and instigate each attack. It's just the small things about how players understand even certain passes going directly to hand right next to your face rather than down low. Maybe a kick pass has to be one bouncer straight to chest rather than a dribbly one. Like, it's really, really basic stuff, but when that is hammered into you every single night, you really do become a better player and you stop having to think about the skills because they're just second nature. So I think even if you look at the final, the sharpness of the Kerry players, like, Donegal played this zonal defence, which I've been critical of since, but then I'm thinking, Kerry exposed it because they were so sharp.
So quick.
Every pass was bang on the money. Every pass had the right pace on it. If it was a kick pass, it was kicked. If it was a hand pass, it was directly into the person. So, you know, we can criticise Donegal, but it might just have been that sleekness and that skill level that Kerry had. And then, obviously, coupled up with a determination that was never seen before in Kerry, I think they were the factors.
Yeah, collectively so. Like, it was, Paddy, I know I rambled on with that question, but again, that's something that you guys would have done so well in your group, would have been knowing your roles inside out and just clicking. But, like, they all clicked. Like, there were so many 8 out of 10 performances in the Kerry side, and even 9 out of 10s too. I just even think watching it back the second time, I got such an appreciation for just how good they were on the day.
Yeah, it was a brilliant performance. And like I say, the first 4 or 5 months of the season, we didn't really see anything like that from Kerry, but Jack O'Connor would argue they didn't need to. And that's the confidence they had within the group. They could kind of play in second or third gear throughout the Munster Championship. Even they won the National League playing at that pace, and that was fine. And the big question mark everyone outside the camp had, would they have the ability to up it when the shit really hit the fan, which is from the quarterfinal stage on, and there's no question they've done that. And as poor as Donegal performed, and as underwhelming that their performance was, even if Donegal were at their best, how clinical and how sharp Kerry were all over the pitch, I still think they probably would have had too much. They've shown in the last, particularly the second half of Armagh and all of Sunday, the Tyrone game was kind of Tyrone, you know, we said it at the time, the quarterfinals. Dublin Tyrone game was exciting, but quality wise, technically, it was along with probably the first half of the Galway Meath game, was the poorest display on show. So you felt Kerry would probably have too much for Tyrone anyway. But the heights they reached in that second half against Armagh, and then throughout on the biggest day, the performance levels, it was outstanding from them, and not something we were certain they'd be able to do. So they do deserve massive credit for that. That piece around clarity from Keane O'Neill, the best coaches, I'm sure Jack and Aidan McGarrett and everyone involved in it, they make the game simple for you. You know, and this is the disappointing thing on the Donegal side of things, is that, you know, McGuinness and his management team, that team have total clarity in what they're meant to do as well, to be fair to them. You know, you don't win back-to-back Ulster championships, and this day last week, the whole country's talking about Jim McGuinness being one of the best, and he is a brilliant coach. And that's the surprising thing, that they weren't able to, and maybe this is the issue with being so well-drilled and well-coached, they didn't adapt in the game at all. You know, and that's the surprising thing. That, but what Kerry have done, if we're focusing solely on them, I said it, they, when they work hard and have intensity without the ball, and the likes of Joe O'Connor and Gavin White, that pace and power, which was a question mark over them, when they bring that and match the likes of a Tyrone or Armagh or Donegal or any of the top teams, then it comes down to who's got the most skillful players. And skills pay the bills. And there's no one better than Kerry at doing that. So,
yeah. There's been so much said about the All-Ireland Final. We'll be doing a bit more on it. We're picking our team of the year, our Football Pod Stars, a little later too, with a couple of little awards being given out. We are in Tubberty's in Doonbeg here. Such a lovely bar, a brilliant GA bar. So much history around it. There's so much more as well. Plenty of golf awards over here too. Paddy, the Dubs would have frequented this part of the country quite a bit when you were winning All-Irelands. Jim Gavin's father is from very close to Doonbeg, and you would have had a couple of training camps out this way. I'm sure you've been here, have you?
We have been, yeah. It's always great to come back. Yeah, Jim's father, God rest him, was from just up the road, so we would have come down to Doonbeg, down to West Clare, geez, I'd say 4 or 5 times, and trained down here. We would have played, you know, maybe Limerick or Tip or Clare, all of the above, on the way over, and spend a couple of nights here training away. So we've been in with David a few times. There's more Dublin jerseys hanging around here than Clare jerseys. But it was a brilliant, brilliant time for us as a team, Doonbeg, and particularly this place, and David himself and his family.
Tommy Tubberty as well, he'll be running the
podcast. Yeah, and we definitely would have met him a few times. But we had some brilliant camps over here. And you know what you mean, when you're playing some of those training camps, when a team is going well and, you know, you're tight as a group, they're the most special times of the year. So Doonbeg would always be a very special place for everyone involved in that Dublin group. Yeah, so it's great to be back. Yeah.
David very kindly opened the bar for us early this morning. He was actually in Croke Park yesterday with the Doonbeg under-12s. They were playing in Croke Park. The pitch was still lined the same way. I think they had a couple of great performances.
2-point arc for the 11-year-olds.
Exactly. And obviously Doonbeg being in the West, they have probably a couple of very younger kids as well playing with their under-12s, but they performed brilliantly and picked up a couple of big wins. Better Kerry club along the way, I think.
Oh, really?
I'm not sure that they keep score, but they definitely... definitely
the Legion boys were up there, weren't they?
Were the Legion boys up there too, yeah? I think Fieries might have been there. But what an opportunity for kids to get to play in Croke Park after the All-Ireland final. Like, jeez.
Insane.
Inspire you.
Coming a month ago, lads. You remember playing...
Never met it.
I never met it either.
Oh, no, coming a month ago was just playing for your school, was it?
Yeah.
That
what age did you play in Croke first? Did you play as a kid?
No.
Donegal 2012.
No. Minor.
Oh, you played minor.
We never got there.
Did you win?
We never got a minor.
No, we drew.
Okay.
Drew and then lost.
Primary school final, I was 10 or 11. It's the best day of your life. Like.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
But even, do you know when you think about coming out to watch a game in Croke Park and you walk up the steps and then you see the pitch for the first time?
Unbelievable.
Like, that's the most incredible feeling of all time. Never mind actually as a kid walking out to play out there.
Amazing.
So that's something you remember forever and inspire you.
So yeah, the future is bright in Doonbeg football for sure. We're going to get out and play a little bit of golf as well. Myself and James are working on improving,
Paddy.
It's your debut here today.
We've done 55 pods this year. We've done loads of great work, lads. Sometimes things we say can go a little bit far. And
we all have our moments.
Is this an
we
apology?
All have our moments.
I feel an apology coming here from Tommy. A long-winded apology.
No, it's not an apology, but it's a bit of a full circle moment. I might bring you back to June 16th, 2025. Meath had just beaten Kerry a couple of weeks after beating the Dubs. I kind of felt like they maybe weren't getting the credit they deserved and the dander was up a bit. Have a listen.
How much did the
because I know poor Kerry have a lot of injuries. How much do the injuries have an impact at the weekend on Kerry? Poor Kerry.
I don't appreciate.
There was an undertone, a sinister undercurrent to that question.
There is.
Give us a list there.
A raised eyebrow.
Who are you listening to? Give us a list.
He's coming for you, Jimmy. Imagine, this is what he's like if Mead actually get good. This is what he'll be like on the show.
Just remind me.
Unbearable.
If you were listening to me 30 seconds ago, I listed them out.
Okay, right. Yeah.
What?
Do you want to give it again, though? Just to remind people, just so people know.
I said that Mead also had injuries and played very well.
But I would argue, just for argument.
Is this because it's 8 o'clock in the evening, or is it because we won? I'm not sure. It's like a combo of the two.
Just bar like Paddy Clifford, right? I would argue, because we know how important Paddy is to how Kerry play. I would argue that Mead's injuries were more significant.
Fucking Sean O'Shea, Dermot O'Connor.
But to Mead, Paddy. I don't know. I'll let you dismiss me in a second.
Hang on, Tommy. I think you've picked me up wrong. I'm not making an excuse for Kerry losing, saying it was down to the injuries. I said it could be argued that was the case, but also Mead had the injuries as well.
For sure.
And showed up and deservedly won the game.
I'm going to ask you about the softness that is apparent in Kerry's setup at the moment. I'm going to ask you about that. But. Just to make
that
me
jersey I had upstairs is going in the bin.
Good.
Go
good.
On
because I will not rest until we're hated by the country again.
Look, he's morphed into fucking Mick Lyons at the corner there. Look at him.
I just want to say
Jerry McAtee's come on the pod here to host
and make the point here, right? Because do well for Kerry to realise that meeting Calvin this weekend. There was a softness about Kerry at the weekend. There was a softness about the manner in which they approached that game, the manner in which they sauntered up the road to Tullamore. And I know it was a long journey for Kerry this week. I know that. But I wasn't sure whether Mead would have, I suppose, the conviction to take down both Dublin and Kerry in the same season. And I just wonder why you think that was. Why have Mead been able to beat Dublin and Kerry in the same season?
I mean, we said it a couple of weeks before when they obviously had the issues with the coaches and they left and the panel would have been left there, you know, hands wide open saying, what's going on? Where are we going to go from here? Mm. And the fact that they have been able to pull together as a group and beat the Dubs convincingly and beat Kerry convincingly shows so much character in that dressing room. And so much guts, and I couldn't give him enough credit. And I agree with you. Kerry probably did go up there a little bit lax, maybe. They could have done that. Now, that, again, that's not an excuse for jumping it. They could have gone up there. But, I mean, Mead deservedly won the game. Like, their two-point shooting was outstanding. Their accuracy, their legs, their engines, their aerial ability, everything was on point. And Kerry weren't there.
All right, lads, there was a lot of talking over each other there. Paddy, I think you kind of warned me at the time. You're going a bit far here, Tommy. Are you? Yeah, do you know? But I was kind of, you call me, I think, Mick Lyons and Jerry McAtee in the corner. Maybe I did get a bit ahead of myself a bit. But I think the point still stands in the sense that Kerry were a totally different side after that day. They really were. And not to try and explain myself or anything, but I did feel like Mead weren't getting the credit they deserved at the time.
Yeah, no, you did. But we've all said things, and it doesn't come from a bad place or anything. You were just absolutely buzzing after Mead won, and you wanted to kind of put as much exposure on Mead as you could, and obviously they had injuries and things, and you thought that I was going to come with a ball of excuses for Kerry, but I wasn't.
Can I just, because
we own our defeat, you see.
Yeah, you actually did. When I listened back afterwards, I actually did not listen to anything you said. I did not need to go on the rant that I went on. You had actually explained it perfectly before that. Paddy, sometimes that happens with myself. But anyways, we'll fast forward to 2 weeks after that. Kerry get the job done against Cavan. They get the job done against Armagh in absolutely awesome fashion. And I kind of slunk my way into the post-match press conference with Jack O'Connor. And I threw in one question about hurt, which we can hear about.
Was it fueled by hurt, Jack? It kind of sounds like a lot of that in the squad.
Well, I mean, look. One of the great motivators in life is trying to prove people wrong, you know? We were being portrayed as a one-man team. I saw somebody writing this morning that said that the only Kerry player worthy of being called a Kerry player was David Clifford. Now, David's a great player, but David would tell you that there was a fair support cast there today, you know. And we think we have a lot of good footballers. But I think sometimes we're being judged on a different criteria to other teams. I mean, for example, Dublin got beaten by Meath in the Leinster Championship. I didn't see any ex-Dublin players coming out slating the team or slating the management like we had down south in our county.
So that's Jack's answer. And from there, I kind of snuck out of the press room over to where the recovery vans were. Kerry have ice baths that they bring into Croke Park to C11 recovery rooms. And you might have seen them at the Open in Port Rush and that. And they're having a huge impact actually now. They're over in the Premier League with different clubs. But some of the Kerry boys are coming in and out. Graham O'Sullivan was hopping out of the ice bath. I said, Graham, can I grab a word? Maybe a little bit unaware of how those words had gone down a couple of weeks ago. So myself and Graham were having a chat and we got interrupted halfway through it. Where you hit 14 shots in a row, 14 scores from it. It was unbelievable. What went into it, Graham? I never said soft, I said poor Kerry.
Where'd you go from there?
So you can hear me scrambling there, lads. I'm a little bit rattled with the Kerry kit man, Colin Whelan, who had obviously heard what was said and heard it back. And I doubt the players were listening, but it definitely made its way into the dressing room, I think, some of the things that were being said. And obviously Jack referenced things that were written about Kerry in those couple of weeks. But like, a team is entitled to take fair analysis or any sort of analysis and use it in whatever way they can. It happens all over in all sorts of sports, doesn't it?
It does, 100%. And even when, to go back to maybe when we were playing, every bit of criticism, it's not welcome. Like, you know, you hate it as a player. You do. But like, no one is out there to criticise anyone for no reason. And very often the people who are criticising you are the exact same ones who praised you to the hills maybe a couple of weeks before and will do a couple of weeks later. It is a journey. Like, you're not going to be absolutely brilliant all the time. There is going to be peaks and troughs in your performances and in your career. And I think it was the best thing that could have ever happened to Kerry, that game against Meath. It wasn't on TV. Right, so the only way no,
no, the only, one, the only one
he did. GA Plus didn't have the best year either, let's be
but hey, I'll take that person.
It wasn't on TV, so it was just the response of just say the media time or the pundits. That's what people were getting. So I think an opinion actually carried more weight for that game because no one could make up their mind themselves.
The response is magic, really, wasn't it?
Lads, when you're playing, every player and inter-county manager now thinks all commentators and journalists are Muppets. They haven't a clue what they're talking about. That is the truth.
Whether
they're
right.
They're not far off, if there isn't us. But that is, and this whole idea, we don't read the papers. We don't. But if there's negative stuff said, that will find its way in because it can be used. And that's, it was funny, I think Cliffy was on the BBC. Did you see this? Yeah. Afterwards. He's obviously amazing. And Clifford's the only one who's never criticised. So how does he find the Michael Jordan, you know, chip on the shoulder? Yeah. Clifford has to actually go and go, when people say I'm great, I take that as a negative. It's like, that is just sport. You said it, Tommy. It's the world over. Yeah. Like, all the advancements and sports science and technology and all this type of stuff, having people question you or write you off still has an incredibly powerful space. But I just thought it was funny listening to Clifford because he's never going to be criticised because he's not far off being perfect. But he takes that as a, he's like, I have to use this. Yeah. So
that is actually brilliant because the sports psychologist for Kerry was the same as the tip one.
Yeah, culture.
They use the same person. He's after winning the double, which is incredible. So maybe that was a little bit of a nugget for him.
But even like, and we're going to bring you to it now, the full circle moment. Myself and Colin Whelan caught up a few minutes later and I said, if you get the job done, you'll have to sit down and have a chat with me. So we ended up having a nice chat on the Monday morning, what I'm going to play in a second. But I think what we got a glimpse of in the last couple of weeks is how well Jack O'Connor minded his squad, masterminded them, moulded the reaction that he needed from them. But not just Jack, but the entire backroom team. Like, I had a lovely chat with Aidan McGarrell the next morning as well. It's one of my favourite interviews that I've done in the last couple of years. Such lovely insights. And he said this little bit about what happened in the Armagh dressing room in Croke Park before the Armagh game. I just thought it was so powerful. And it involves our friend Colin Whelan again, who's been Kerry kit man for the last 7 or 8 years. and we'll let Aidan explain it here.
Obviously in Tullamore we were seriously rocked that by a very good Meath team. That was their, definitely in my opinion, their best performance all year. I thought they were really, really on it, but we were rocked. And those 5 minutes in the dressing room after the game, we spoke about what it meant to be a Kerry footballer, the values, what it means to you. And even the next game, we went to Croke Park, I remember, after the Cavan game, and that was our team. There was pictures of the lads when they were younger on the dressing room walls by Cullamore kit man. And it was all about going back to the basics, what it means to you to be a Kerry footballer and to play with that freedom, that sense of pride. And it's an unbelievable feeling to see that come together.
Lads, I'll be honest, I had hairs in the back of my neck when Aidan was explaining that. Like, you know, I think he nearly had tears in his eyes saying it too. You can just see how powerful it can be in a group when things click in that way.
100%. And like, I always say that playing for Kerry or being an intercounty team is way more than playing football. Like, it has to be your social outlet, it has to be your best friends, it has to be maybe someone there for you when you're struggling, or it's everything at the time. It's more important than your job, you know, you have to sacrifice lots of things. It's everything. So, you know, someone like Colin Whelan there, finding those extra things just to get into the psychology of a player and make him remember, you know, how much they actually want this, if it's getting a bit overwhelming or anything. Like, that's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And that just proves how much he cares. That's just nice to hear all those little stories, because they are so important.
When I asked Colm a few minutes later about the photos, you can hear it in the interview. We're going to play the full interview with Colm later. He refused to break the sanctity of the dressing room. He was like, how did you hear that story? He wouldn't he wouldn't really explain it. But I doubt we'll ever really get a proper glimpse into what that was like. But you sometimes get a little peek through the curtain. We're going to play a snippet of the interview with Colm. We're going to pick our team of the year, but you'll hear the full interview with Colm afterwards and go listen to it, because you get a sense of what he brings and what he's added to the dressing room and how many people actually it takes to win an All-Ireland. But in the middle of our chat, the Kerry bus was just about to head underway to Kerry Group in Naas before they got the train home. So our interview, myself and Colm, got hijacked halfway through as well.
When you want club sense in us,
what's that about?
I don't know. I think that might have been something to do with the tunnel after the Arbaga, but they might have given you a small bit of abuse when you were interviewing G there.
Okay, so we'll play you the full interview later on. So myself and Colin made up, and Kerry won their All-Ireland, so everyone's happy. And Meath bet Dublin, Kerry and Galway, and now I just need a big winter to make me not look like the biggest fool of all time next year when we double down and win Leinster. So leave it at that. Lads, let's get into our team of the season. The pod is, of course, brought to you with thanks to AIB, proud sponsors of the Senior Football Championship. Check out hashtag the toughest for more. Who were the 15 toughest players this year, James O'Donoghue? Paddy, I got you to pick your team.
Has he picked his? No.
James, where's your phone? Have you got it here?
Yeah. Sure. No, the other one.
Oh, it's the other one, is it?
I'm like bought to wipe by.
Paddy picked his team.
Do you want to see my team?
No, I want you to play that voice note you sent me of your team.
He
voice noted me his team. Yeah, so have a listen to James O'Donoghue's team of the year. He voice noted it to me this morning.
Well, that's the story. I said I just voice note you my team of the year and things would be easier. Tough team to pick, not to be fair, but I'm going Shane Ryan in goals. Full back to me was tricky, but I'm going with Paul Murphy, Jason Foley, and Dylan Casey. I think I'm going to go Dylan Casey in the corner. Then half back line, a lot of good options here, obviously, but five, I'm going to go Breen Begley. Six, Mike Breen. Seven, I'll probably go Gavin White. Gavin White, Kerry. 8, 9, then I'll probably go Mark O'Shea and Sean O'Brien, Kerry. 10's a shoe-in with Joe O'Connor. 11, I'm going to go Shawnee Shea. 12, I'm going to go with Graham O'Sullivan. Full forward line then, I have to go Clifford corner forward. Clifford Kerry. 14, then I will go Paddy Clifford. And 15, I'm going to go Dylan Gainey. So a tough thing to pick, not to be fair, but I got there in the end, you know, threw a lot of things around in the head. But I'm happy with that.
James, that's James O'Donoghue's team, and I can't blame you for it. Paddy, what we're going to do is we're going to go through the team here briefly. There's a couple of points of difference, and we'll end up with the Football Pod Stars by the end of it. Okay?
I left a couple blank.
I know you did.
I have two blanks.
That's okay. We can figure that out.
Remember that in the match programme.
Okay. Yeah. Goalkeeper, right? Plenty of players that put the hand forward this year and had brilliant seasons, brilliant moments, and maybe deserve a shout-out, you know. But who are we going with?
Who have you gone?
I actually went with Patton, okay. Even though I didn't win. Usually the winners, the keepers, is picked. Shane Ryan has been brilliant, but I know Kerry won the game on Sunday, but I just think Patton, in terms of the new rules and what he brought to Donegal, nearly taking it on a level from what we've seen from Niall Morgan and Rory Began, is that he's such an attacking weapon for them as well. He's so pivotal to their game plan. They won the Ulster Championship. They got to the All-Ireland Final. He didn't play badly in the All-Ireland Final. They were just... The guy were beating all over the pitch, but look, it's a toss up between them. Shane Ryan is, I think Shane Ryan is underrated, isn't he?
I'd be strong on Shane Ryan.
I think he'll probably get it for this. I think he'll get an All-Star
because Patton is a phenomenal operator. I mean, off the tee, probably the best, but he wasn't at his best in the quarterfinal against Monaghan.
First half,
I think they carried it very well in his kick on the final as well. Some of the other great goalies, obviously Rafferty and Began, these fellas, you know, they all had their moments, but I can't fault Shane Ryan for a spell in the championship at all. I think he was tough enough mentally to deal with anything that was thrown at him. And you have to say that he was kicking out to what happened to be a brilliant midfield for Kerry. They absolutely performed. Yeah. But there was questions, so I guarantee they had to do a lot of work to make sure they were right bang on the money with all that. So I have to give it to Shane Ryan. The other one was Morgan. But the only reason I would give it to Morgan is if I was finding a reason not to give it to Shane Ryan, which I don't have.
It's a bit like the Scotty Scheffler with Shane Ryan. That he doesn't do anything spectacular, but he's so effective.
Yeah, he is.
Doesn't have the ball flight or the long range that Patton or someone has. Mm. But
he's very good between the ears, I reckon. And he's also a brilliant shot stopper.
And the 2 feet as well. I think that just helps so much with the kickouts. I'm going to make the casting vote here and
as always,
give it to Shane Ryan. Okay. I just think just the season that he had, I think even the recovery from the kick out against Armagh where they conceded the goal, I just thought his recovery after that was sensational. So Patton again had a brilliant year. Began had huge moments. Rafferty had great moments as well. Biddy Hogan from Meath had very good moments too. But I think hands down Morgan as well. I think Shane Ryan is nicking that one. Full back line. I think we're all on the same page with this one. Full back line. Paddy, you had Brendan McCall in there.
Yeah. I think he's one of the best defenders in the country. He's had the toughest job. Kind of you look back and say, you know, the likelihood of Tom Sullivan in the 22 final where he just can't handle it. Shane Walsh, who just gets unbelievably hot, and Tom missed out. I think he was in line for player of the year that year, wasn't he? Yeah. Going into that and then ended up not winning an All-Star.
He took way too much of a hit for that.
Yeah, no.
Way too much.
You know, I think the best players when they get hot, there's not a whole pile you can do. And that's kind of the element with Sunday's final. You know, McCall is going in and his man has scored 9 points from play. You know, but it's David Clifford. So I think he's been absolutely pivotal to Donegal's defensive rear guard. It's a thankless task picking up the best forward, particularly under these rules. And it's nearly a bit of a throwback. He has the man-to-man marking ability. He'll thank God he doesn't have to face David Clifford every week. But I think he should. I think he will definitely be in an All-Star team, but I think he should be.
I'll go to number... three, so probably put McCall number two. I think All-Ireland winner Jason Foley takes the number three slot. Just unbelievable. It's worth noting as well in terms of Shane Ryan and the Kerry defence. They conceded 4 goals this year. Like, that's fairly impressive. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, like, across the season itself in the championship, like, Foley has just been exemplary throughout. What a leader. The way he went toe-to-toe with Murphy. I know Murphy still gets 8 points that day, but just Foley across the season was brilliant. And then the other corner, James, who are you going for?
I give it to Sean Rafferty. For me, I think he had a great year, in fairness. And there was a couple of inspirational moments across the games where he was the one who stood up. Obviously, up front, they had loads of them, but
I just thought he was a big leader for them, and he was one of the reasons, and a complete fan's favourite. Like, as in, the supporters absolutely love him. He is a cult hero, so he's one of those fellas you almost want to do well. So yeah, I give it to him. Just on the last thing on Shane Ryan, the save that he had against Armagh when Kelly was going through, and Jeremy had the left-legged shot, and Shane Ryan saved it. If that had gone in for Armagh at the time, it would have been a completely different game. So he actually did have that match-winning save as well. So I think that's a strong enough full-back line. They're all, the three boys are full-backs is the thing. So you're pushing them into the corners, but...
Yeah, I think probably Finbar Rorty, who might get a shout later on from us, is very unlucky not to make that. He had a phenomenal year as well, breakout year, but I think he's probably in line for everyone's young footballer of the year, like at just 19 years of age. He's been amazing. Mm-hmm. Probably unlucky, Paddy.
Yeah, but that's the nature of these things. Like, yeah. Look, there's loads of teams, all stars, when they're finally picked in a month or two's time, there's always five or six lads who would be in the mix.
Yeah, and a lot does, rightly or wrongly, depend on who wins the thing as well. Like, if you win it, that probably those 50-50 calls go your way.
100%. That's it.
Now, if we want, we can shoehorn him in somewhere else later on if we're struggling for a position. But I think we're both very, or we're all three of us are very set on our five and our seven. James, you might just open the doors into who we have here. Brino.
Yeah. Breen Begley or Brino Bioglíoc, and Gavin White. Obviously, the two Kerry lads. Cornerstones of the team. You know, absolutely outstanding. Attacking, defensively. Probably what goes unnoticed as well is their ambition and their hunger to get in under breaks, which the game was about breaks in the latter stages this year, and the boys were absolutely outstanding on them. Go back a couple of years to when Kerry beat Dublin and won the All-Ireland against Galway. Breen's desire to get kickouts and get Kerry out in the old rules, he had to find a way to stay in the game kickout wise, and breaks has been his thing, where he's just been able to get the position in and be one of those fellas who were outnumbering the opposition on the break. So going forward then, both brilliant for a score, but like the pace by both of them, especially Gavin White, like the way he can weave in and out of defences if you stand off him at all. I know I've marked him when he was playing with the Crokes in the half-back line and centre-back and things. Once he takes off, there is genuinely no catching him. And he's so good, even on the solo run, that he's not being turned over or anything, and he's well able to kick a score. So I think those two are shoo-ins.
Gavin White, Aidan McGarrell's talking afterwards about how appreciative and how thankful he is for Seamus Moynihan for his All-Ireland medal in 2000. And we both said in 25 years' time, I think the Kerry players might look back on Gavin White's performance and also leadership throughout the season and remember him maybe in that vein. Like, it was just awesome leadership across the board. Our third half-back position, we have a couple of contenders. I don't think we're fully settled on this one yet. Anyone come to mind? I think Kieran McGeary has a fairly strong shout there in terms of Tyrone. He had a good year, a lot of possessions at time. Yeah. Kieran Coffey from Meath certainly was very good, but I don't know how many we're going to really give to Meath after the season itself, because they weren't good enough to get promoted from Division 2, they weren't good enough to win a Leinster, and they fell short against Donegal, but they still had a good season amongst
Craig
that.
Craig Lennon get a second All-Star?
Craig Lennon had big moments throughout the year as well.
McLeod, you would imagine, will probably get one. Look, it'll probably be Mulroy, but they won the Leinster Championship. Yeah. I know the All-Ireland Series didn't go great for them. McGeary, yeah, definitely, he's had a couple of years in the wilderness since that Player of the Year where he was outstanding for Tyrone, but even like from the first game, the Ulster Championship against Cavan, you could see, you know, testament to Malik O'Rourke has obviously got something a bit more out of him, and to himself, because he was very, very influential in all the big games as well. I think a lot of teams of the year, he's getting the nod.
Who's that?
McGeary,
yeah. Ross McQuillan, I thought, had an unbelievable season. Like, he was absolutely awesome and was given a particular job against Kerry. We saw how tough it is to shut down Clifford O'Shea and Paddy throughout the season, with Tyrone and Donegal struggling too. I thought McQuillan was brilliant. And another fellow who I think we might come into it, didn't have the greatest final, but he had an awesome year. Paddy, you were talking him up before the final as well. Kieran Moore playing, obviously with 12 on his back, but has been a half back and playing in that middle third. I thought he was really good too.
Desi Ward was phenomenal this year.
2 points from centre back.
Monaghan were brilliant at times as well.
Yeah. It's easy to fall into the trap of Eric, give them one. Do you know what I mean? But who actually was? I know, but that's what happens in the All-Stars or something. But who was genuinely the best six?
Well, we could move Gavin White to six. He started every game at six for the throw-ins and ruined teams with that move. We can move White to six and play someone at seven. We can come back to this one if we're stuck on it later.
I'd be
edging towards Kieran.
McQuillan and Caulfield, I do think, are two brilliant players. Had great years.
Yeah,
I'd be happy with either of them if you did move Gavin White to six.
Tommy, your cast of vote, go on. This was one of my A and others.
Okay, I think we're going for... Oh, that's a tough one. McQuillan, Caulfield, Moore. It's a throw between the three of them. Yeah, we do. We better get moving.
Is Kieran Moore eligible for Young Player of the Year?
I think he still is, actually. I think he still is. He was nominated last year.
I think he'll get that.
I think Rorty might get it, but...
Yeah. So Kieran Moore gets the goal just for final as well, the point against Mayo.
Let's come back. Let's come back to this, the halfback position. Midfield is a slam dunk.
Who did we pick?
Let's come back to it at the end, that in order, right? We'll come back to whoever contenders there. Midfield is a slam dunk. Right. Give us the one who may not have the greatest final but had a phenomenal season before that.
From Donegal? Yeah, Langan was exceptional for them. Scoring power, 2-point range, the goals he got just up and down the pitch, kick out options. That's what makes the final just so disappointing for him. I'm sure he will be, and Donegal will be disappointed. But I think on the basis of the entire season, Ulster Championship, Langan gets in, he'll be back. But
yeah,
I was disappointed. I'm sure he is at how he played on Sunday.
He kicked 125 across the year. He had that moment against Monaghan where he just lit Donegal's comeback. He was phenomenally. 7 points against Tyrone in the game that fell short. But the other midfielder, James, like with Hen in his back throughout the season, the Rockies man with the orange boots, the fella who's just come back from the cruciate, who was Kerry captain in 22, only getting a bit part place. We're getting to know his story now. The ultimate leader throughout the season. When players were injured or form wasn't there for others, this man was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Who?
I would say Joe O'Connor. I would say the second best player in the country this year, I think. I'd go that high with him. Outstanding year. And you know what? A bit of a Kieran Whelan in a way about him. I used to always think about Whelan. He'd have big moments in games. Yeah, he'd turn up, he'd score an absolute rocket of a goal or something. I think Joe has that desire to get in and have big moments in games. Like Owen Brosnan, kind of similar. You know, breaking lines, getting through and scoring match-winning scores.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of talk maybe about Joe's rugby background and stuff like that. You know, it's probably good to park that now because he's so much more than that. But yeah. Like his tackling, his work rate, his ability to be a member of a team, the way he breaks lines, the way he can now kick a score, his eye for a goal, like his aerial ability, like the amount of attributes he actually has or the amount of strings to his bow. So definitely an absolute cert. Okay. For this award.
He sets the tone for Kerry and what he's doing, and it was, he's not the type of player they've always had. You know that we're talking about intensity, and he goes one of these long bursting runs and he breaks lines. That naturally just drags four or five other Kerry players with him. Mm-hmm. You know, and the best players have that around the middle third. You know, he's maybe not the silkiest player. Kerry have loads of those type of guys in the past, but his just intensity, just setting the tone and all. Look, I can go back to that Munster Championship game against Cork, you know, the first game. Yeah. And he's had so many massive moments. And we had players, it reminds me very much, like you said, Wheeler, Michael Darren McCauley, where he just goes and four or five lads go, shit, we best go up with him. And that middle third, where that intensity and physicality and aggression, the kind of question marks you had around Kerry, now look at himself. Gavin White of Buglock playing on the front foot. He was pivotal. He's in right in the running for player of the year as well. He's not going to get that, but well deserved. Nailed on for an All-Star.
Well, we do have our team time coming, but I'm just going to speed us up now going through it, because I think the forwards, a lot of them look after themselves. Paddy Clifford, like absolutely phenomenal. Just a quick word on Paddy's season and what he's done.
Yeah, I think that everyone knows how important Paddy is to the Kerry team. Kenevan even spoke about it. You holding that?
Yeah.
Paddy also had to shake off injuries. Mm. You know, like he obviously didn't play a couple of the games. Came on, like Kerry needed him against Armagh. Came off the bench at half time, settled us down. He's a possession merchant. Wants the ball, demands the ball, dictates. And every single game, he comes up with 3 or 4 points. And doesn't matter where he's playing, he could be getting a lot of ball in the half back line. He still gets up, gets his scores on the board. And obviously that relationship he has now with David and every other forward, he's also a great, great assist player. So without doubt, one of the best players in the country, deserving award.
Another fellow who had to deal with a lot of injuries and questions this season, but bounced back in absolutely incredible fashion in the way that we know he can as a footballer, Shaunie O'Shea, like absolutely sensational from the quarterfinal onwards.
Yeah, and I thought he was really good on Sunday as well. We were at the game, we were chatting about it off air. He worked his hole off on Sunday. Like not necessarily, like the Armagh game was kind of the show-stopping highlights, 12 points. But I thought on Sunday he played a massive role as well. We know how much of a leader he is for that team as well. But getting him back to his best, getting turnovers, linking the play, and then nailing his frees as well. So he's nailed on for an All-Star. The highlight will obviously be that Armagh game, but he was so much more than that over the last couple of weeks as well.
Yeah, he really was. Third position, I think we're kind of floating between a few different players. Oisin Connolly has certainly got a shout. He was brilliant at times this year. Paddy, Shane O'Donnell was another brilliant one. I'll have a look back. You left this one open. You were up for debate. Obviously, we could put Kieran Moore there, who played really well throughout the season. Yeah. Anyone else, James, stand out to you, or who are you leaning heavily towards at the minute?
Very good.
Connolly was awesome. A shout for Owen Murdoch, who was brilliant earlier in the year, obviously around midfield. We didn't mention him earlier. Does Sam Mulroy make it into our team when Louder Leinster champions and obviously had big days? I'm not sure. He was phenomenal earlier in the season.
I had Sam Mulroy. Sam Mulroy will definitely get an All-Star. Okay. And I know the All-Ireland series, like we said, for Louder, did not go as well. They'd reached their peak. This was always a danger when they won that Leinster championship and how much that meant. Just remember that last quarter. That was one of the moments of the summer, Loud winning that championship and how pivotal he was. And he even still got a lot of scores in the All-Ireland series. Again,
a lot of injuries to deal with earlier in the year, so we only got to play a couple of championship games, but he's so important. Game, yeah. Okay. Who are we going for here then? Because in
so
terms
of... Mulroy 12?
No, not necessarily.
Oh yeah, but sure, I'll leave it.
Paddy had him 12.
Well, to be fair, Mulroy played out the field. Mm. Do you know what I mean? So, then again, Shane O'Donnell, do you leave him out then at 10?
Shane O'Donnell was man of the match against Monaghan. Could have been man of the match against Meath. You know, it was unbelievable for them in the Ulster final against Armagh.
He had a great year. I think I'd go Shane O'Donnell and I'd have Mulroy inside.
Okay.
Because my full forward line then. I'm just looking at yours. It's different to yours, but...
Yeah. What about Conor O'Donnell inside?
I know. That's the thing.
So you had Mulroy instead of Clifford?
Yeah. I've Clifford, Murphy.
Big Murph.
And Mulroy then.
Mulroy and Conor O'Donnell, who was one of the top scorers from play.
I had Conor O'Donnell in, yeah.
Either Conor O'Donnell in mind.
I don't know, can I let Conor O'Donnell out either?
Shane O'Donnell was brilliant. My full forward line is the three lads.
Conor O'Donnell,
Murphy and David Clifford. Mulroy's playing 12.
I'm happy to have Conor O'Donnell in, but then I'm losing Shane O'Donnell, which is unfair, but push Mulroy to 12. Okay. I'm happy with that.
I'll make the decision on the 7 position if you make the decision on the 12 position.
Mulroy for 12.
Yeah, Mulroy 12. Shawnee, Paddy, Mulroy, Clifford, Murphy, O'Donnell.
Okay. Who's on the freeze there?
Whoever wins it.
Makers, takers.
Makers, takers. Okay. Who are we giving 7 to? I find this one a tough one to give to.
It's hard not to give a token one here. Who?
I don't want it to be a token one, not in that sense.
You think Moore?
Kieran Moore had a better year than McGeary and Craig Lennon.
Yeah, he did. He did.
And Caulfield and McQuillan.
Yeah, he did. But great years for them. Yeah. Kieran Moore had a better year than all of them.
Okay.
Yeah. Despite... A tricky fight.
I think, how many is that for Kerry? It's 8 for Kerry.
Let me talk it up here. You talk it up, then I'll talk up.
We haven't even mentioned Mike Breen, centre back for Kerry, which is completely unfair. It's just that the lads at 5 and 7 with Breen and Gavin were so unbelievable that I suppose maybe he doesn't get mentioned like he should in the half back line.
Another man who was missing at games this year and came back.
Had a bit of injury doubts and got injured in the final as well.
He was injured and it was kind of an out team. It was a bit of a problem. Position, for Kerry, yeah.
But even to come in and take Tyke's spot, who has been an ever present up to now, centre back, organiser, leader in there. So they've backed Mike, and he's had a great year. It's hard. I think I'd go for Kieran Moore as well, really, at 7 and push Gavin White in.
Okay. He's exceptional, lads. I know the final didn't go well for him, but.
The thing is that, Kerry were so far ahead of a lot of teams. I know I've said it already, but. Then Donegal were also so far ahead of a load of teams, and you kind of don't want to give them too many, which is unfair.
Because it was such a long season, there were so many championship games throughout the year, and so many big moments. What a wonderful summer! I'm not sure if you saw the Sunday game montage of the season itself, but what a glorious summer that we had—a 5-minute kind of collection of all the big shocks, the big moments, the 2-pointers, the new rules. You know, brilliant.
Do you know what the new rules? Right, just think of Clifford in the final. Right, if that was 12 months ago. His first three of his first scores in the All-Ireland final were 2-pointers, right? He would not have pulled the trigger with any of those.
No.
He would have run closer into the goals, probably got battered and beaten around the place and maybe come out, might have slipped over one. So instead, we had these three unbelievable moments in the first half because of those new rules. And when you think back to how ridiculous it was, before the two-pointer that you get the same for throwing a wooden leg at something from 20 yards as you do from kicking a Clifford score from 45 yards. I mean, it's just a great rule, the two-pointer.
Yeah. So we got 8 Kerry, 5 Donegal, 1 Loud, 1 Meath. I think there's probably players from... Maybe Rob Finnerty had a great year from Galway.
Yeah, Galway.
Yeah, getting 1 Loud, 1 Meath. Is that me coming in there? But I think Rafferty had an unbelievable year.
I
think Meath probably will get one. Rafferty, I know he's a fan for... I'm not overly sure on that one, but okay. Connacht champions Galway. Finnerty was by far their best player, but...
It's hard against that forward line.
You feel like they've underperformed. Yeah. So,
for sure. Well, that's the football pod stairs. You can come at us when you want. We're going to end here with the interview with Colin Whelan that I did on the Monday after the All-Ireland final, the full chat, where he talks about just a love for Kerry football and his love for being involved as well and all he does for Kerry. So fair play to Kerry, All-Ireland champions number 39. We are going to take a bit of a break after our golf today, but we're coming back with our club season a little later. We'll have club episodes across the club championship and also the Football Pod Club with some big interviews. We had James McCarthy last year. We had Louise Nemuraherty and Kayleigh Cronin. We had Conor McManus and Rory Beggan. And we had the All-Ireland winners, Aidan Forker and Conor Turbitt, together in Armagh. So we really enjoyed them and we'll be working on a few more over the next little while. Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue, great work all year long. Really enjoyed it. Thanks for all the hard work. And to everybody for tuning in, we'll be back. What a season. What an inter-county season.
Pleasure. Cheers, boys.
Chat soon.
Brilliant stuff.
Best luck in the golf.
Yeah. David Tuberty is going to join us now, lock the bar and join us on the golf course. So we better get out. And we'll talk to you soon.
Delighted to be joined by a man who I wasn't sure would talk to me today. Colin Whelan, Kerry Kitman. How are you doing?
Good time, eh? Not too bad, don't you?
Yeah, good this morning. What a feeling it must be to be involved in a team like that.
Unbelievable. Just, I think, the sweetest one ever. It definitely the sweetest one.
Why is it so sweet?
I think the narrative that we're being wrought off all year and that nobody's given us a chance, but I just think that made it sweeter and a certain journalist weren't giving us any praise and said that we were done, and just that made it sweeter. And we knew within the group like that we are better than what we were showing, and just made it sweeter.
It doesn't take much for any sports team and any code to take something that's been said and use it in a positive way, to turn a negative into a positive. You certainly did that this year.
Might have done it once or twice with certain players and certain journalists said certain things. We won't mention any names, but
well, I definitely got a dig off you in the tunnel after the Armagh game when I was chatting to Graeme O'Sullivan.
Yeah, and I apologise about that.
Not at all.
No, there was things being said, and the spirit in the group is, and I'm sure the boys are saying this as well, the spirit in the group is unbelievable, from Jack all the way down to whoever the last member of the panel is, that it's unbelievable. And all the backroom team, we're very close knit. I don't think any stories are really getting out of the camp to share, which was a good thing, that it was all kept in house, and we knew we were a lot better than what we showed today against Meath, and everyone was writing us up because of the way we played against Cork the night long Cork that went to extra time. And Cork were actually a good, decent team, and Meath was just a total malfunction, but went back, reset, and just good after that.
From chatting to Aidan McGarrett there and from some of the players, it's obvious, and even Jack, it's obvious that you minded each other in that group when maybe there was a couple of digs coming from outside, or maybe you felt like you weren't getting the credit you deserved. But that's such a big thing of it too, because you are in your own bubble, but it has to be moving in the right direction. So you clearly got a lot right this year.
We did. Yeah, I think we got a lot of things right.
Like on a personal level, I mean, do you know?
On a personal level, I think every person, the backroom team, a management and backroom team, I think they all wrote in. They all, like our management and backroom team are unbelievable. There's no one not pulling their weight within the backroom team. Everyone is doing it, and we're all kind of rowing in one direction. And I just think that we knew what the group, because we're watching two or three times a week inside in training, we know what they're capable of. And it's just unbelievable to be actually there at training, watching them doing it, and didn't know that they're going to produce on the big day.
Yeah. I know the role is kit man, but there's a lot more that goes into it than that. And James Costello is in with you this year, and Kerry would have known the Clare kit man. Jim Marnin, I don't know, would you have a WhatsApp group, all the kit men around the country? But Jim was a legend. He did a lot more than just being the kit man for the Clare footballers. There's so much that goes into it. I know you were one of the last men leaving Croke Park. I thought I would be, but you were one of the last men leaving Croke Park last night as well, and you'd be driving down the road to the homecoming as well.
Yeah, drive down as Marnin. But
what goes into it, Colin?
What goes in? I suppose, if we're training at 7 o'clock, we're probably there at 5:15. myself, Jur, would normally be two of the first arrived in, followed by the physios, who probably have the hardest job. Like the physios are the fellas that are getting slated if players are injured. They don't get any, they don't get praise when the fellas come back on the pitch. So they're the fellas that do probably, they have the hardest job, I think, in outside of Jack's, when Jack is trying to manage the 20 odd people in the background team. I think the players are, or the physios are trying to mind 39 odd players and trying to make sure all of them, and they get no recognition or no applause. They get slated when players are injured, but they never get thanked when they're back on the pitch. So I think Jimmy and Paddy need massive credit, like the work that they put in this year. Like they were, I'd say they've hardly any fingers left after all the rubs they're after giving this year, and fucking excuse language, all the work that they've done this year. So I think they're two of the real unsung heroes. The kit men, we've a handy job. We just show up at the gear, we've a checklist, we bring it and throw it out to them, and they work away, and we load it back up, and we're down the road again.
There's a lot more to it too, though. There's the energy in the group as well. Like, you're all contributing to it. You know, you're all there around it. Like, you can't, if there's a fella there and he's draining a bit from the team, or maybe he's, as you said, letting tails out and stuff like that. There is a responsibility when you are a part of an inter-county backroom team, regardless of the role.
I suppose, but that's for everyone in the backroom team. I think that there is an onus on us. Like, keep the mouth shut. If you want to talk to someone within the group, you don't talk outside the group. That's the way I think we operate. I hope we operate.
Yeah.
But it's grand. Like, you can pick up the phone and ring one of the boys in the backroom team, or ring one of the players and have a talk with them. If you want to think about something, you can.
You must love it, do you? Even before getting the job, I know Sam Maguire adds so much to it, but you must love it. You're 7 years at the senior team?
7 years, yeah. Love it. You'd have to love it. Like I said before, like, we're coming in watching some of the best players that have ever played a game trailing 3 times a week. Where else did you get it? Like, people are paying €100 yesterday to go and watch them in Croke Park. Yeah. And get to see them every night in training, or a couple of nights a week in training. It's unbelievable. And, like, they are such a great bunch of players. There isn't a bad one in them. Like, they're no way arrogant. They're all humble.
I think we're all getting that sense of it, and the amount of leaders that are in that squad as well. We, like, mentioned Tullamore, right? And that, the response from Tullamore was unbelievable. So they got the job done against Cavan, but it was the Armagh game was really the one where you needed to prove yourselves. Like, a lot went into that maybe people will only hear now over the next couple of weeks. You did something pretty special in the dressing room that day, like, about what it meant to play for Kerry. Like, that, could you just give us a glimpse into that? Because that was, like, when I heard that, I had hairs in the back of my neck.
Yeah, it is, like, probably Kyle Sheridan needs to get a lot of praise there and that. He really bonded the group, and he kind of went back to why you lads started playing football in the first place. Like, why you were kicking around the balls in your backyard with your brothers and sisters and parents at 4, 5, and 6 years of age. That's what it went back to. Like, that's just going back to what it is to play football. Like, that's the reason that you started in the first place. So hope for days like that. What better place to be? Ireland, going up against the Ireland champions that beat us last year. And in Croke Park, you couldn't wish for a better day, better setting, like, for it.
Had you photos of the lads? Like, what was it that you had? Was it photos of the lads and their kids in Kerry jerseys around the dressing room?
Yeah, just as they're in their kids, like, with those pictures up. There's some nice dodgy haircuts in the photos, though, in all fairness. Yeah. But yeah, just pictures of the lads.
That must have been. I can understand how I got hopped off in the tunnel afterwards when I was chatting to Graham. If you were that wired and that ready for that game, because the performance makes sense after hearing that. Just getting a glimpse into the performance that day, and Shane Ryan said earlier he felt the first 15 minutes of the All-Ireland final was better than the 15 minutes that everybody raved about in the Armagh game, which I thought was so interesting. But I think we're learning a little bit about how you were so ready to rock that day. What a thrill to be involved in another All-Ireland winning dressing room. It's been great for you to be involved over the last 7 or 8 years, I'd say. You'd loved it.
Absolutely unbelievable. Like, and Joe, we're kind of thankful to that my own club sense in us.
Yeah. What's that about?
I don't know. I think that might have been something to do with the tunnel after the Armagh, but I might have given you a small bit of abuse when you were interviewing G there. So, the lads are brilliant, and, like, I'm thankful for my own small club.
There's no way they're reading stuff in the papers or listening to the pod. You must have been going in with clips from Spotify.
I might have played one or two clips that I got sent by other people that weren't listening to the pod. So I might have played it for one or two of the players that I thought you were disrespecting on the day. So they just happened to come into the dressing room about 10 minutes after I got sent the tip, so I played it for them.
I don't think I'll ever get an interview again with them.
Ah, you will. No, it's grand.
They can thank me for that then. I'm only joking.
I will give you a small bit of credit. Your name might have been mentioned once or twice by other people. So it was. It's an honour to be any day we go into any Kerry dressing room, whether it's under 14s or seniors. It's still the same thrill, it's still the same buzz. Like, so I was with the development squads, I was with the minors, and yeah, now with the seniors. And it's still the same thrill, like, going in with development squads is still, it's a massive thing to be asked to do. Anything Kerry, with any Kerry team, like, so it's still a buzz.
Was there a couple of people you wanted to mention?
A couple of people. Chris Killeen was the liaison officer with with Clare now at the moment. Chris Killeen was the liaison officer with minors. He was unbelievable. He kind of put everyone on the right path, like the Kerry way of doing things, even though he's a Clare man. Niall O'Callaghan, Niall Botte, like, what a legend. That man gave me so much advice when I was with the minors. He was with the seniors. He was unbelievably good to me. Jerome Annie is still with the seniors. He was actually keeping the minors before I was there, and he was brilliant. Like, so, unbelievable. Like, they're three unbelievable people that would still do anything for Kerry, and just thankful for them.
I'd say you live in that, do you?
I do, yeah. I think my wife would want me to stay at it full time next week anyway. We do. We put up a lot of mileage, but sure, it's all worth it on days like today. Like, you have to enjoy it.
Well, Colin Whelan, thanks a million for chatting to us. It just goes to show how much goes into, you mentioned a couple of people there, how much goes into winning an All-Ireland. Even inside the group, outside the group, it's huge. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, outside the group, even, let's say there's 2022, I think, in the backroom team. But outside of that, the officers and the staff of the Kerry County Board have been unbelievable. Like, we want for nothing. As Jack was saying in his speech last night, like, draw, like, training camp, no about at all. Like, I carried the van down to Portugal in the training camp. It's just, they booked the ferry and load up the van and off we go. And, like, there's no questions asked. And the staff in Corns, staff in Aston Park and Fitzgerald Stadium, like, they're unbelievable to deal with. Like, they're all professionals and they help us out any way we can. We're only a small part of a big cog, like.
Colin Whelan, St. Zenon's, Kerry Kitman, fair play, boy. Thanks a million for that.
Good
man.
Have you.
Put it there.
Appreciate it.